Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Awesome. So we're busy with a series called Rain and Life. And who of you have been encouraged by the series? A few hands. Okay, so those hands that didn't come up, I'm sure you'll be encouraged this evening as you sit under the Word. And if you've missed out on any one of the parts in the series, I would also encourage you to go and get those teachings. They're free and available at the resource desk. Go and get them. Go and take it. Give out to some friends or family. They'll also be blessed by that. And then, like Jock said, there's a weekly devotional going out. Catch up with the rest of them as well. And just sit under the God's Word. Allow every day to just meditate on God's Word and let the Word of God just minister to you as you go through those devotionals. So, Rain in Life. The subtitle to the series is Discover the Power to Reign in Life and Live in Freedom. Discover the power to reign in life and live in freedom. So, discovering is basically uncovering something. So, those of you who can see, there's a table next to me, or it's more like a wooden block next to me, and it's covered by a tablecloth. Okay, so unless I take that tablecloth off of that piece of wooden block, you won't really know what's underneath it, right? It's relatively simple. Okay. So that is basically what we're doing in this series. It's not discovering or revealing something that doesn't exist. Okay, that table block, it exists, whether you see it or not, whether you know about it or not. That table block exists. And throughout this whole series, we've been discovering and uncovering this power to reign in life and live a life of freedom. So just open up your hearts and receive the Word as we uncover this power and let God's Word minister to you. We need to uncover this power to reign in life and make it personal to ourselves. Then we will live this life of victory and freedom. I want to take us to a passage of Scripture that all of you are familiar with. It's John chapter 8, verse 32. It's talking exactly about this point. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth alone isn't going to set you free. It's knowing this truth, knowing that this block is there, that will set you free. And as we dig into God's Word, this context talked about salvation, Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ, receiving that life, that is the life-giving power to set you free, the ability to set you free. We need to receive that, personalize it, and make it our own. Now, this truth can we apply to any area of life. If you look at a fire, as a child, you don't grow up knowing that a fire is going to burn you. Okay? You get taught that, or you learn that the hard way. And the fact is, a fire is going to burn you. And you need to know that. Otherwise, you're going to play with fire, and you're going to get burned. Or you're going to make a mistake at night when you're sleeping, as the parents always say. Okay, but this knowing a truth also brings me back to a story in history, William Wilberforce. Okay, William Wilberforce was one of the fathers that established and fought against slave trade in England. And in around about 1834, in August, the slave trade was abolished. That act was enforced and the law was set. But on that specific date, in 1834, in England, not every slave enjoyed and experienced that freedom that was theirs to take. Every slave was set free, yes, but not every slave immediately enjoyed their freedom. Why is that? Because only months, even years later, some of those slaves came to know this truth. Came to know this truth that I'm no longer a slave, but I've been set free. I'm a free man. And that's the same with God's Word. We need to get all of these truths, discover these truths, discover this power, and enjoy this life that God gave us, that Jesus Christ came to give us. Hosea 4 verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know can kill you or harm you very badly. I encourage you, like I said, to get the rest of the series because it's been a remarkable series. It's been a life-giving series because it's God's Word. But it's really looking at this power that we have in any area of life, this power, discovering that, getting to know that personally, intimately, and allowing that truth to set you free. Now, I want to use another illustration. If you take an apple seed, if I had an apple seed here between my fingers, I don't. But if I had an apple seed here in between of my fingers, all of you would say, yo, that apple seed has the ability to bring forth more apples or to grow into a tree and produce fruit, right? Cool. The guys here in the front, Catherine, my wife, Joe. Yeah, sorry. The clever ones here know that apple seed has the power, has the ability to produce fruit, okay? It's quite remarkable. It's a miracle, actually. If you look at one seed, can grow into a strong tree and produce fruit and keep producing fruit. But that seed, for that to take place, for that power to manifest, that seed needs to be planted in good ground under the right conditions. Get time, give it time, and it will eventually produce fruit. And God's power is exactly the same. It's got this power to transform your lives. It's got this power, this ability to set you free, to allow you to live a life of victory, of reigning over every circumstance. But until you take that word and plant it into your heart, until you take God's word and see it as alive, plant it into your heart, you're not going to see any fruit or very little fruit. Can I get an amen? It's the truth, guys. You should believe me. So the foundational scripture that we've been focusing on throughout this whole series has been Romans 5 verse 17, which Jock also read earlier, and it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So we've been continuing looking at this verse and the three aspects to this verse that is a foundational truth for us to reign in this life. Number one, it's through Jesus Christ, through relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the starting block. Then it's the abundance of grace, receiving that abundance of grace, not just a teeny little bit of grace, but God's lavish, abundant grace. Okay, then the third one there is receive the gift of righteousness, knowing and identifying with Christ's righteousness in you. So those are the three aspects. And we need to identify ourselves with Christ's death, His pain, but more so His resurrection. Because it's in His resurrection that we have this reigning power. And Christ didn't, for those of you who didn't know, Christ didn't die a physical death, went through all of that pain, just so that we can have spiritual realities, can enjoy life as spiritual beings. No, Christ died a physical death so that we can enjoy life physically. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, wholeness. All of that is in the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, it's the truth. It's not my words, it's God's word, which is truth. Okay. Now I just want to get this thing on. Disappear. Okay. That will disappear soon, hopefully. I'm not good with iPads. I got an iPad to do my sermon on, just so that I can see the words here. Okay. So my next point here. Moise, while I'm sharing my next point, can you come up here, please? Okay. The point and angle I want to focus on this evening, make the keyboard disappear. Oh, hallelujah. Miracles. Miracles happen. Amen. Okay. So my point and angle that I want to focus on this evening is funny enough, God's love. God's love. And the worship that we do here at Grace Life is really awesome because it re-emphasizes, it focuses on God's word. And it's really awesome. And the message, my title for the message is Reign Because You Know That You're Loved. Reign in life because you know that you love. And if you go back to Romans chapter 5 verse 17, receiving Jesus Christ, receiving the abundant grace, receiving the gift of righteousness, all three of those things are gifts given by God. Gifts given out of love. Love was the motivation. It's because of love that we can reign in this life, knowing this love that God has for us. If you take love out of Romans chapter 5 verse 17, it wouldn't have existed. For that matter, if you take love out of any scripture, it wouldn't exist. Because all scripture is inspired by God, and God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. God is love. He's the foundation of the scripture. And as we dig into the scripture, we're going to see the effect that it has in our lives. You can't take love out of God. You can't take God out of love. God is truly love. And I want to encourage you. Just open your eyes this evening. The message on face value, it might seem simple. But God's word is alive. And as we take his word this evening and sow it and plant it into our hearts, it's going to produce abundant fruits in your life. So, enjoy. Okay. Now, I want to use another example or illustration. And say Christmas is coming up, a boy gets this awesome wrap present. It's a huge bicycle. The bicycle's in the box, so it's easier to wrap. And there's a few things that need to take place before this boy can start enjoying this gift, right? Okay, first of all, he needs to pitch up on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. He needs to be present to receive his gift. And then he needs to start unwrapping this gift and then eventually go and enjoy it, go for a cycle. And again, it's the same picture with God's word, God's love. First of all, you need to be receiving that. You need to receive his word, be present, receive it. Then unwrap it, dig into God's love, dig into his word, and enjoy his word. It doesn't, just because something is there for us to enjoy, doesn't mean we're automatically going to enjoy it. Okay, this isn't high grade, guys. It's standard. Just because something is there for us to enjoy, doesn't mean that we're automatically going to enjoy it. And God wants us to enjoy his word. God wants us to reign in his life. God wants us to receive his love, not just the world kind of love. God wants you to enjoy his kind of love. The key to reigning in life is to know that God loves you and accepting that. No buts, no T's and C's. God loves you. You need to know that. And I want to encourage you quickly, everyone, just close your eyes for a second or two. Just forget about everything. Forget about how your day was, how your week was. And I want you to just say these words after me. If you're bold enough, you can say it out loud. If you're shy, just say it in your mind. Darren isn't here, so he's not going to shout. So just repeat these words after me. Father God, do you love me? Father God, do you love me? I want you to open up your eyes and tell the person next to you, if you're bold enough, tell them that God, your Father, loves you. Tell the person behind you, tell the person in front of you. Okay. It's enough. You can tell the person again after the service. And this is truth. Whether you're feeling it, whether it's emotion or not, God's love isn't based on emotions. God's love will stir up emotions, but it's not based on emotions. And the thing is, the world's kind of love has taught us that love is about emotions. Love is about experiencing something. And if we look at all of these Hollywood movies, it's all about this hunk of a guy falling in love with this beautiful girl. There's all of these emotions. It's going rampant. And they're helplessly, they actually use the word, it's helplessly fall in love. Because obviously they can't control their emotions. It just happens. A year goes by, these emotions are gone. And they helplessly fall in love with the next person because their life is dictated by their emotions, their feelings. Or then on the other side, we get these kind of pictures of it's a give and take relationship. You see in relationships where it's like, if you give, then I'll give back. But if you stop giving, then I'm going to stop giving. Or we even see that love nowadays has a price tag on it. That saying going that love can't buy or money can't buy you love. It's true. Don't go and try it. It's not going to work for you. And this is what the world has portrayed for us, these kind of affections or these kind of love pictures. And it actually also reminds me of a story where, I don't know how this happened, but as I grew up, every Christmas coming, I've got three brothers, I've got more actually, but let's, for the sake of illustration, I've got three brothers. And so every Christmas coming, when we grew up, we came to a point where we started trying to figure out what was the price value of our presents, like each of us. Like, we tried to compare, like, was yours more, was mine less? What is the story? And as I was preparing, I was getting this picture that, like, it's such a tainted view of love, because immediately seeing that maybe your brother's gift was $50 more than yours, you would imagine, like, does my parents love them more? Like, why is their gift more expensive than mine? And obviously, I know my parents love each one of us just the same, but the world paints this picture of love to us that it's about, there's terms and conditions. There's always terms and conditions. And now we've looked at all of the images of what love is not. And now let's get into God's word and see what love truly is. And I'm just going to jump into the thick of things, into John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And I'm going to read out of the personalized version. There isn't really such a version, but I've personalized it a little bit. And just don't let scripture become familiar to you. Yeah, let it become part of you, but don't just become familiar with scripture where when you hear something, you're like, oh, okay, I know that. Like, God's word is alive. I'm going to say that again. God's word is alive, and it's got the ability, this power to change you and to build you up. So listen carefully to my personalized version. John 3, 16 to 17 says, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him, you should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son to condemn you, but that you through him might be saved." I'm just going to continue Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commends his love towards you, and that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you." Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved you, even when you were dead in sins, has he quickened you together, raised you up with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised you up together and made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." 1 John 4, verse 10. "Herein is love, not that you loved God, but that he loved you and sent his only Son to be the payment, the atoning sacrifice for your sins." These scriptures are meant to be personal. It's meant to, for you to read it as God loving you. And that's why I put emphasis on the words "you," because it's not just about your God loved this whole building, and if it was only one person, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. No, if it was only one person, he would have still sent Jesus to die on the cross, because God is a God of intimacy. God is a God of personally wanting to know you as his child. It's not just about a group of people, but it's about knowing you personally as his child. And everyone knows 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to just reemphasize this picture of God's kind of love. I'm going to read from verse 4 to 8. I'm not going to read from the personalized version, so you can follow in any one of your versions. It says that God's kind of love is patient. It's talking about charity here. It's God's kind of love. It's patient. God's kind of love is kind. It's not jealous or boastful. God's love is not proud or rude. God's love doesn't seek its own way. God's love is not easily provoked, and it keeps no record of being wronged. God's love doesn't rejoice in injustice, but rejoices in the truth. God's love bears all things. God's love believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. God's love never fails. And that's a promise. God's love never fails. God's love for you is poured out. Everything. He didn't keep anything. He poured out everything through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul was an awesome guy. Looking forward to meeting him one day. Can learn so much from him. And I'm going to read chapter 8, verse 31, and I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to skip through a few of them as well. Starting, Paul asking a few questions. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? God's love for us, who or what can be against us? He that spares not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God knows what you need. God wants to give you all things. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. See, here Paul is bringing up a few things, not just spiritual, airy, fairy things, but real issues that he struggled with, real things that the church struggled with, real persecution, physical persecution. And Paul writes, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's through the love of God that we get to reign in this life. It's through the love of God that we are more than conquerors. It's not through anything else but God's love that we are more than conquerors. And the greatest illustration of this more than conquerors, when I heard it the first time, I was like, wow. So every time I read this verse, I have to use the illustration. And if you've heard it before, I'm sorry. So you get these two boxers, they go into a boxing ring. And boxer A, after a few rounds, he defeats his opponent after a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And his eyes are all swollen, but he defeats, he conquers, he conquered his opponent. Okay, he gets his big check, he goes home. The following day, his wife takes the check, walk out of the door and go shopping. Okay, his wife is more than the conqueror. She didn't get into the ring. She didn't train for all of those months. She didn't sweat. She didn't bleed. None of that. Her husband conquered. And she is more than a conqueror. And that is who the body of Christ is his church. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because Jesus already defeated the enemy. He's already conquered, and we can live this life of victory and reign in this life because of that love picture that we have. The scripture goes on, Paul saying that, for I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things to come, not height, not depth, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These words are alive. If you take it, sow it into your heart this evening, meditate on it throughout this whole week, you're going to see fruit. It's going to produce fruit. It's a promise. It's God's promise to you. And like I said before, the key to reigning in this life is to know this love that I'm talking about, knowing this, personalizing it, and accepting it. Irregardless of your flaws, your past mistakes, irregardless, God's love for you is so much bigger than any mistake you could have ever made in your past, in your future. I'm going to challenge you to close your eyes again. Hopefully more people will be more convinced in saying these words. Father God, you love me. Again, Father God, you love me. Tell the person next to you, God, your Father loves you. Oh, guys, you aren't convinced. I'm going to tell all of you, Father God loves you. He loves each one of you as his child. That's the truth. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4, and as you're going there, the word Abba in the Hebrew culture, it's such a profound word because it talks about, in English you'd refer to daddy, or in Afrikaans, for the Afrikaans guys, papa. Whenever you're referring to your dad as daddy or papa, there's a different intimacy than using just father or dad or pa. When, as soon as you use the words papa or daddy, like it creates this feeling of knowing that your Father will do anything in His power to make sure that you are happy and that you are protected. It's that complete father-child relationship. And I want to encourage you to start looking at God as your daddy, as your papa. Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Paul talking about this exact thing. What comes up in the scripture. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now that's powerful scripture. You know, you're not a servant. It's not a master-servant relationship that we have with our father, our daddy. It's a daddy-son relationship that God wants to enjoy with us. Romans 8, verse 15. Go with me there to Romans 8, verse 15. It says that, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, yeah, it's comparing two things. The spirit of bondage unto fear, and the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of bondage is always going to create fear. You're never going to reign because of fear. But the spirit of adoption, where it's daddy, son, there's never going to be fear. Because of that love, knowing that your father is there for you, you're going to be able to reign in every area of life, in every situation. And two stories that come up in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. The first one in chapter 6, Jesus talking about from verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you of much more value than they? For all these things the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First, seek this truth that God loves you, that kingdom that God died for you, sent His Son to die for you, that love relationship. And from that place, you're going to be able to receive anything and reign over everything in this life. I'm not going to go to Matthew chapter 7. You can go and read that for yourself from verse 7 to 11. It talks about the story where Jesus paints this picture again of fathers on earth. If his son asks him for a piece of bread, no father is going to give that son a stone. Or if he asks him for a fish, no father here on earth is going to give his son a serpent. And then Jesus goes on and say, you then being evil, not evil in yourself, but evil compared to in God's greatness, His perfect love. You then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your father, your daddy, give you everything that you ask for, anything that you need? Amen. Now in closing, as I said, we can learn so much from Paul. And one thing that I picked up in preparing for the message is, if you go and look at any of Paul's letters, all of them had the similar introduction. All of them. And I'm going to read the introduction from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In the first four or five verses, you would find the same words, just stated differently. It's not because Paul wasn't creative. I'm pretty sure he was a creative guy. He was a tent maker, every now and then. So I'm pretty sure he was a creative guy. So this isn't just coincidence. This isn't just because he copied and pasted. But there was a specific significance to him introducing or starting every one of his letters in this fashion. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He knew, Paul knew, Paul had this intimate relationship with God, his daddy, his papa. He knew that God was a God of mercies, of love, of peace. And because of that, Paul reigned over every imaginable situation. You name it. From being stoned, from being shipwrecked, imprisoned, going without food for days. Paul went through it all. Yet he still reigned in life because of knowing personally God the Father, his daddy, knowing the love that his father had for him. I want to finish off with the last scriptures in Jude 1. Well, there's only one. There isn't really. It's not Jude 1. There's only the one page there. Jude, verse 21. If you wanted to get technical. Jude, verse 21 says that, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The word keeping there is referring to a guarding. Guarding yourselves in the love of God. Being rooted in the love of God. Everything in this world is going to contend, compete for our hearts. Everything. If you're not going to guard your heart in the love that Christ has for you, life is going to get difficult. The enemy is coming out like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That is his goal in life. If you're not going to stay focused and stay in God's love, focusing on God's love for you, life is going to get tough. The writers in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 and Psalm 1 verse 2 and 3, not going to go there. They both talk about this meditating on God's word day and night. Okay, they talk about meditating on God's word day and night. Putting the focus on that it needs to be a continual thing every day. It's not just once a week on a Sunday. No. We've got so much on that note. We've got so much ministries within in Grace Life, trying to facilitate, trying to get people together to get rooted and established in God's love for them. Because we know the value of that. And we're still continually unwrapping this love of God. Continually. You don't reach a tipping point and then things go south. Or you don't reach a plateau and then things stay the same. God's love is so much greater than you can ever comprehend. And He wants us to experience that day and night. The key, like I said again, to reigning in this life is to know God's love for you and to accept that. Really know God's love for you and to accept that. It's really an awesome truth that's there for us. Jesus Christ died for each one of you. God showed His love for each one of you. Before you could do anything for Him, God loved you before you could do anything for Him. In your sinful state, being dead, God sent Jesus Christ for you. That is the love image of God. And you need to receive that, accept it, and you will see yourself reigning in this life, like Paul did, and all of the other epic characters from the Bible, and every one of your friends here that you're going to see accepting that and living that life out. Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You, Dad, for this time that we could spend together with You, receiving from Your word that is alive. Thank You, Daddy, that You love each one of us so much. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for just ministering these truths to us as we go out into our weeks and the rest of our lives, that we may never forget this truth that God loves us without any conditions. God's love for us will never fail. It will always be enough. God's love is our power to reign in this life and to live this life of freedom, of victory. Thank you, Jesus. As the eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity this evening that everything that I talked about this evening, it's only really true for you, and you can only really experience this when, like I said, when you receive this, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive the payment that He paid for you on the cross. And I want to encourage you, if you've never heard this message of God's love for you, and that He wants to get to know you personally and wants you to enjoy life and His love, I want to encourage you to just raise your hand quickly. I'd like to just pray with you after the service. Not going to do anything weird with you. Just a quick raise of hand. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. It'll never be the same again. It's a promise. And never be the same again in a good way. Awesome. Everyone here is in the same family. If you were too shy to put up your hand, please come and talk to one of the leaders after the service. But also, as the eyes are closed, I just want to also encourage you. I feel that there's definitely a group of people that are struggling to receive this message of God's love because you're looking at your mistakes or your shortcomings, or you're listening to what your siblings are telling you, or what your parents are telling you, or what your best friend is telling you, or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You're listening to what they think your value is, and that's not what God is telling about you or saying about you. God loves you. Irregardless, God wants to help you get through the struggles that you're going through. And if that is you, I just also want you to just raise your hand as well quickly, or so I can see who I'm going to be praying for. Just a quick raise of hand. I'd love to just minister to you now. Thank you, Jesus, just for this message that we could receive. And thank you, Dad, for every one of your children sitting here this evening. Thank you, Dad, that they can just come to understand, get hold of this love that you have for each one of them. And that your Holy Spirit will continue to just remind them of this love. And that they can just stop forgetting about why they should be loved, or all of their mistakes or their shortcomings. But that they can just start looking and focusing on your love for them day and night. And just hold on to that. And before they know it, they'll just see their lives being transformed. And see themselves reigning in every area of life. Because of this love that you poured out into their hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources, or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.